Praise the Lord. If you haven't guessed what my message might be about today, it's about the love of God. And just a little bit of a clue. And I've entitled it, We're Loved Beyond Measure. And Wilma, you put the first. There we go. Loved beyond measure. So I have a definition of measure. And Wilma's going to put it up there. Measure means to determine the size, the amount, or the degree of something, to estimate or assess the extent, quality, value, or effect of something, to measure. I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but you and I, mankind, everyone on the globe, love to measure things. And I'm going to just list a few things, and then your brain will start kicking in and thinking, oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, we measure travel into space. Can somebody tell me how that's measured? Anybody know? Light years. Yeah. We measure the age of fossils. How many billions of years? Now, some of us might not agree with their estimation. I don't know if the world is billions of years or not. But we measure it. We measure the speed of sound. We measure sound in decibels. Now, how many of you know that as you get older, hearing is a little more difficult? And my poor husband, I'm talking away to him in one room, and I'm expecting him to hear me in the other room. He's not hearing me in the other room. He says, if you came into the same room where I was, I might be able to hear you. So, but we measure decibels. We measure electricity. Watts, kilowatts. We had an electrician. We've got Lloyd back there. He was an electrician for many years. He understands about measuring. If you've ever built or constructed anything, you better measure before you start building. And you better know what's the volume and the size of the material you need and how many. And so we measure. We have to measure. We have to plan ahead. Here's one that I used to complain about in the Miramichi, was we measure the weather. When I was growing up, how many of you, the snow and rain was measured in inches? How many remember those good old days? Yes, inches. And nowadays, it's centimeters and millimeters. Okay, so there's a rain warning that's posted. I get it on my cell phone. And rain warning in effect. Beware, we're going to get 10 millimeters of rain. Does anybody know how much that is? Just kind of give me the little sign. Anybody know how millimeter? There. Mike and Karen have millimeters. Why are they warning me about millimeters of rain? I don't get it. Everything's a big storm watch, rainfall watch, everything's, oh. It's not inches. If it was 10 inches, yeah. Ladies, when you're baking or you're following a recipe, you always measure. Now, how many ladies bake bread and you don't measure anymore? You haven't measured for years. Anybody? Well, duh, Florence, Shirley. So if I was to ask them, okay, give me the recipe for making bread. Well, you put this, a bunch of this and some of that and a pinch of this and don't forget to, you know, my goodness. Don't even have to measure. It's memorized in their head. But most of us have to measure. Men, I'm sure when you go hunting or fishing, you're going to measure that one that you got, right? If you say, I caught a fish, well, how big was it? How long was it? What did it weigh? You're going to know, right, Mike? Yeah, I'm going to make note of that. Pardon? Yeah, yeah. You're going to make sure. If you go hunting and you kill a deer or a buck or whatever, do they all have antlers or just bucks? Okay, yeah, that's how much I know. Okay, you kill a buck, what's the first question your friends are gonna ask you? How many points? Oh, the first time I ever heard that, I thought, you mean you get points as a hunter? You get points for killing a buck? No, it's how many points on his antlers. So we measure. In different churches where we were, Ron would tell me the news of if someone in our church had a baby. Of course, we're all waiting for the baby. And so he would say, well, Susie had a baby. And I'd say, oh, great. What was it? I don't know. Well, you didn't ask if it was a boy or a girl or how many pounds or how long or what happened. And, well, no, she just had a baby. So, of course, women, you know, we got to go get more details. We have to know how much it weighed, how much it hurt, how long it lasted. We got to know it all. We have to measure. And as our children grow up, sometimes we want to track their height. We want to measure how they're growing. And when our boys were growing up in Littleton, I made the mistake of writing it all on a wall just inside the door. And I was so, you know, deliberate about it, and every 6 months or every year, whatever, I wrote their height on the door or on the wall. Well, when we moved away, I couldn't take the wall with me. And I didn't write anything down. So now my son, you know, he's raising his son. He said, well, how tall was I, Mom, at that age?
He's like, I don't remember. And it's all on the wall in that house where we moved away from.
So I made a board for a couple of our grandchildren, a board that you can carry with you and record the height so that you never forget. But we want to know. We want to measure. There's a danger, though. Sometimes we measure ourselves with everyone else. And we look at everybody else, especially us women. You know, I'd like to be thinner. I'd like to be fatter. When I was growing up, I was so thin. I don't know one of those sayings. There's a saying, I was so thin you could slide sideways through, or whatever, I don't know what it is. I don't remember that joke. But anyway, I was so thin, I wanted to be fatter. And we're fat, we want to be thin. I was blonde, I wanted curly hair. And every person with curly hair that I've ever met wanted straight hair. Never happy. Always comparing ourselves with others and measuring ourselves. And we do it. But most of the time, we come up short. We just don't quite measure up to the standard that we think we should. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, there's a scripture that says, because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you're better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. So we're supposed to be careful how we measure ourselves, that we're not better than someone else, or we're not as good as someone else. 2 Corinthians 12 and 7, Paul wrote, even though I've received such wonderful revelations from God, so to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. So there's two sides of it. I can measure myself with everyone else and feel like I'm a failure, or I can measure myself with everyone else and think, I'm pretty good. Look what I did. And we become proud. We measure our children's performance and their grades. And we're always trying to see if they could do better. And how are other children doing? We can measure how much we love our children. Some parents think it's the amount of things you buy them. If only they had this and this, like their friends do. You know, then they'd know that I really love them. And the opposite is if I can't give those things to them, then I guess I'm a failure and I don't really love them. And so we're always, as parents, we're always in that back and forth, trying to reconcile, you know, how do we show them our love? And how is it measured? Our love should be measured in the time that we spend with them, the sacrifice that we make for them. That should measure our love for them. Matthew 7, verse 9 to 11. You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? How many of you would give your child a stone if they asked for some bread to eat? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And the next verse, or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. And verse 11. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? So he's our heavenly Father, and he much more wants to give us good gifts. We know how to give good gifts to our children. How much more does the heavenly Father want to give us good gifts? I've heard people, or I guess I've seen it on different TV shows, what happens when you come upon a mama bear and her cub is nearby. Mama bear really riles up. She gets pretty angry. She's going to defend her cub no matter what. She's not going to let anything happen to that little one. And as mothers, we would do the same for our children. I can remember many years ago, Andrew was just in public school and he was having a difficult time with one of his teachers and different things going on. And in the night, I had this such a vivid dream that my child was being attacked and my child was going to be hurt. And I just, everything in me just rose up, and it actually woke me up because it seemed so real. And I just continued praying, and I said, Lord, whatever enemy, whatever danger is coming to my son, would you protect him? Would you defend him? Because sometimes as moms, we can't be there. You can't be there every moment to keep them safe and prevent things from happening to them. But God can, because his love is greater and he's everywhere. There's the love of friends in John 15. Verse 12 and 13 says, this is my commandment, love each other in the same way that I have loved you. And verse 13, there's no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. I could lay down my life for my family if I really had to. I would hope I'd never have to. But it's another level even for friends. That's a totally different thing. Am I willing to lay down my life for my friends? Not just my family, but my friends. That's talking about unconditional love, sacrificial love, and serving others. The Lord measures things a little differently. It seems opposite to how we measure. And in Matthew 10, verse 37 to 39, and this is pretty strong, and not easy to explain, so I'm just going to read it. If you love your father or your mother more than you love me, says the Lord, you are not worthy of being mine. Or if you love your son or daughter more than me, you are not worthy of being mine. Next verse. If you refuse to take up your cross and follow me, you're not worthy of being mine. And verse 39, if you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it. Doesn't that seem kind of opposite to the way it's supposed to work? But that's God. His ways are not our ways. And he said, I want to be the first in your life. I want you to love me with all of your heart, even more than you love your mother and your father, your son, your daughter. Don't let that love be greater than your love for me. And sometimes people get that a little mixed up. And it's all about their child or their children. When Ron and I were raising our children, we tried very hard to maintain our relationship and have date night. And our son and his wife, they guard that. That's date night. That's our time. Because if it's all your life is about your children, once they're gone, you have no relationship with each other. And so it's kind of a picture of what Jesus is saying. I need you to love me more than anything else, more than anyone else in your life. And keep that right. The Lord judges differently. There's a story in 1 Samuel where the Lord sent him to Jesse's house to find the next king. And so Jesse brought out the oldest son, Eliab. And he was handsome. He was handsome. And Samuel thought, ha, he's the one. This is the one. And the Lord said, nope, not him. And on and on and on. There was so many brothers, and just kept going down the line. And everyone that Samuel looked at is like, oh, he's the one. And the Lord said, nope, that's not the one. So he said to Jesse, have you got any more? He said, yeah, David, he's out the sheep, the youngest, just a boy. He said, okay, send him. And in 1 Samuel verse 12, or verse 7, Samuel said, you know, people judge by outward appearance, but God looks at our heart. And when he saw David, and this is really, really odd, because it wasn't about their appearance. It was about their heart, and it was when the Lord said, but listen to what David looked like. The Bible says he was dark, handsome, with beautiful eyes. Well, the other guys were handsome. How come this one was different? And it wasn't about just his appearance. It was about his heart. God knew his heart. So as parents, and sometimes moms, we can look at our children and we kind of make judgments based on what we see happening or not happening. But God sees their heart. God knows where they are in their heart. And we don't. So sometimes we can make a judgment or we can measure where they're at based on all we see. Or all we hear. And we need to say, Lord, would you show me what you see? Because there's potential there. Because there's gifts there. Because they're the person that I created them to be. And you need to love that. You need to appreciate that. Not always be thinking, oh, they need to be something different. They are who God made them to be. And we need to ask God to show us their heart and what's really going on. And then we can pray about the right things that are going on for them. The Lord measures a righteous man, such as Noah. He said he was blameless and he walked in close fellowship. The Lord measured widows. Listen to this. The rule for the church in that day was to support widows who had no family, but they had to be faithful, had to have been faithful to their husband, well-respected, done good to all, brought up their children well, had been kind to strangers, helped those in trouble, and always ready to do good. If you were a widow like that, you got help. If you sat around on your butt and watched TV all day, you probably didn't get the reward. So there was a way to measure. There was a way to measure. 2 Corinthians 12, verses 9 and 10, Paul talked about a time when there was a messenger from Satan came to buffet him or bother him all the time. And he said, Lord, I don't want this. Like, take this away. Take this away. Take this away. Three times he asked him. And the Lord said, no, I'm not going to do that. My grace is sufficient. It's all you need. My power works best in your weakness. That doesn't make sense. In my weakness, but I'm supposed to be strong, and I'm supposed to hold it together, and I'm supposed to know what to do in every situation, and I'm trying really hard. And God says, no, I can be strong when you are weak, when you don't know what to do, when you cry out to God and you say, I don't even know how to pray for my children, let alone what to say to them. Then God says, then my power can come along and help you in that. But if you keep going on saying, I can do it, I'm strong enough, I know what to do, nobody needs to help me, it's pride. But when we call out to him, he says, I'll come in your weakness and I will do the work. In a court of law, evidence is given to determine the facts, and then there's a sentencing. You get what you deserve. But you know what? God's way is totally opposite to that. None of us have got what we deserve. Because he said in Romans 5, verse 6, when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Verse 7. Now most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. He did not give us what we deserved. We deserved to die. And he said, no, I'm going to take care of that for you. I'm not going to give you what you deserve. I'm going to take care of that for you. His love is just so different than ours. His way of doing things and the way he thinks and how he handles things. And verse 9, and since we've been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. Next one. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his son. And verse 11, so now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. And Jesus said there's no greater love than a man lay down his life for his friends. We are his friends. That's what he did for us. A definition of measureless. We did the definition of to measure something, but the definition of measureless. It means having no bounds or boundaries or limits, absolutely unlimited. That's what measureless means. Can you measure God's love for you? Oh man, I can't even. Can you imagine? We don't even understand. There's a scripture that says when he forgives us, he throws our sins as far as the east is from the west. Pastor Ron's preached this many, many times. Okay, if you're going to go east, keep going east. Which way is east? Is this east? That's west. This is east. Getting all turned around. Okay, so if God throws his sin east, okay, and it keeps going and going east and going and going east and going and going east, do you ever reach west? If you were to travel around the globe, if you started going east, would you ever reach the west? You'd still be going east, right? It just never gets there. It never ends. And that's his love for us. There's no limit. There's no boundary that says, okay, this is as far as my love goes, and then you're done. Sorry. This is as far as you can go, and then I'm cutting you off. His love has no limit. It's unlimited. Psalm 145, verse 3 says, great is the Lord, he's most worthy of praise. No one can measure his greatness. How do you measure his greatness? How do you measure that? And Isaiah 40:28 says, no one, have you ever heard, have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, creator of all the earth. He never grows weary, weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding of you. Romans 8:32. Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? And verse 35, can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? We've heard this scripture so many times and we go, oh yeah, isn't that wonderful? But on the day when you really blew it, and you know you blew it, do you feel like you're still in his love, or do you feel separated from him? Because you really blew it. Verse 38, I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, or demons, neither our fears for today, or our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell, can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. So here's the challenge. There's a challenge for us. We can believe it, or we can just know it in our head. It's really easy to know all this information, you know, and all this knowledge. We have it in our head. We've heard it all before. Or we can believe it and have it change our lives. And that takes faith, because we can't figure it out. How do I figure out that a God has unlimited love for me? As far as the east is from, I can't figure it out. I just don't understand it. Because it takes faith. And the only thing that will reveal it to us is the Spirit of God. And we kind of have this, oh, I get it, moment. When God's love is so overwhelming to us and we don't understand it, but by his Spirit, he speaks to our heart and he says, I love you. I love you. And it's only by faith that we can receive that. So today, if you don't have that, I receive it, or I know it in my heart. You can receive it. You can know it. But it's a faith thing. It's not figuring it out in your head. It's simply saying, I believe it. I believe it. But Lord, you have to show me. You have to pour your love on me. Because some days I just don't get it. I'm too busy measuring myself by others or with others. And I always come up short. I always come up failing. I always come up disappointing someone. I always come up short of your love. I'm going to read one more scripture from Ephesians chapter 3, 16 to 19. And this is my prayer this morning for each one of us. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength by his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your heart as you trust in him. And your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should. We're going to measure again. How wide is God's love? It's all the way around the world and it just keeps on going. Remember? How high? Unlimited. How deep is his love? I can't measure it. It's deeper than the deepest ocean. I can't measure it. I can't understand it. I can't figure it out. But I can receive it. I can believe it. And I can receive it. And God can change me with his unmeasurable love. Pastor Ron, would you come and just begin to play that song? His love for you is the only measure you need to live by. If you're going to try and measure anything, just think about his great love for you. That's the only thing you need to live by, his great love for you. And you can share that message with your family, with your friends, with everyone that you come in contact with, that his love is unlimited, unlimited, never runs out. We sang it earlier, his love never runs out, never runs out. Let's just close, bow our heads, and Pastor Ron's going to sing this song.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only son. Treasure, how great the pain of searing loss. The Father turned his face away, his wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to hold the man upon the cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished.
Just before he does the last verse, can we all stand? Can I just have the mothers just come stand across the front this morning? If you're a mom, I just want to bless you this morning. Come stand across the front if you're a mom. Or a grandmom. Yeah. How many here had a mother or have a mother? Put your hand up. How many of you have a mother, had a mother? Yes, I would hope so. How else are you born if you don't have a mother? Unless you're adopted, but then that some other mother had to give you birth. Praise the Lord. I just bless each one of you this morning. And I pray that you will overflow with God's love. You have natural love. It just comes easy. It just comes as soon as you see that baby. That love's there. In most cases, there are some who, for whatever reason, Kathy shared about, didn't want that baby. But I pray today that God will give you a new sense of His great love through you. Not just your love, but His love pouring out through you. No judgment, unconditional, forgiving, self-sacrificing, unselfish, and then you'll just pour it out and pour it out. And you know what? Just God will be using you, flowing through you even more than your own ability to love. He'll give you His ability to love your children, your grandchildren in a new way, to love yourself. Maybe you have to go right back to the beginning. It's like, I don't even love myself. How can I love others? There's no limit to His love. He loves you so much. He loves you so much. So I'm just going to say a little prayer over each one of you. And then we'll go on. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, I ask, Father, that your great love will pour out to each one of these women. Father, that they would feel your hand in theirs. Holding them, loving them, supporting them, encouraging them, that they won't be afraid of anything, because you are their God, and nothing is too difficult for you. No matter what area it is in our children's lives, our grandchildren, but God, you are able. There's nothing impossible with you. You can do it all. You can do it all. You'll hear their cry. You'll answer their prayers. And you will bless them. You will bless them. And you will bless their children and their grandchildren through them. Thank you for your example, God, giving us mothers to show us how to love. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. As you go back to your seats, Pastor Ron will sing that last verse. Thank you. Don't hurry away. I have a gift for you at the door before you go. Gift for all the women here today. I know it's Mother's Day, but women, you are precious. You are blessed. You are loved beyond measure. So I have a gift for you at the back door. And Pastor Ron, I'm going to ask if you will hand out another. It's the last scripture that I read from Ephesians about how much God loves us. And I have one of those for everyone here today so that you will be reminded how much God loves you. Beyond measure. The Lord bless you as you meet together with your families and visit and Praise the Lord.